Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For more information, call 866-837-9027.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for November the 8th, 2005. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, trade negotiators are working feverishly in Geneva today, that to save the World Trade Agreement, at least as it pertains to the December deadline. And the Secretary of Ag says he thinks opening up the border to more Canadian beef is a good idea. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Just after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And in between, we'll take our weekly look at harvest progress across the Midwest with the state statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Nebraska. It's all part of our weekly service to the agricultural community on a Tuesday afternoon for this Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening at Bernardi's 2 on 123 North Mills Street in Pontiac for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. No reservations are required for this 7 o'clock meeting. Panelists include Eric Scholler of Risk Management Commodities, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing, and Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. That's a free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook meeting this evening at 7 o'clock at Bernardi's 2. That's at 123 North Mill Street in Pontiac. We hope to see you there.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday, rather Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December contract in the wheat pit, 313, up 3 cents for the day. The March futures at 329 1/4, were 3.5 higher. December corn at $1.95 1/4 at the final price for the day, half a cent higher. And the March futures at 210, they finished up 0.5 as well. May contract in the corn pit, $2.18 a bushel, up 0.5. And next year's December futures were down 0.5. At 244.5. November soybeans, 574 1/4. They finished up 2 3/4. January futures, $5.85 1/2, were up 2.5. And the March futures at 593 3/4 were 2 1/4 higher. November beans for next year at 611 3/4, 1/4 cent higher for the day. December bean meal futures at 173.90, down 20. December bean oil up 14 at 22.81. From the Mercantile Exchange, nearby November feeder cattle at 115.70. They were down 32.5 cents today. December live cattle off 7.5 at 91.72.5. And December lean hog futures at $63.22.5 were down 52.5 cents for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened to the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, as he does every Tuesday afternoon, is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's talk about this marketplace. We're just a couple of days away now from the crop production report, due out 7:30 Thursday morning. And the trade has been very cautious over the last week and a half and quiet along the way as well.
I think that's an understatement, Todd. You know, we sat here and watched things today. We just saw there continues to be good spreading in there, but the funds have been small net buyers here today in the in the beans, meal, and the oil today, but it's pretty much absent in the corn, other than a little rolling from our Dease to the next Dease corn here. And as we look at that, we wonder why one's up 0.5 and one's down 0.5 when they're getting out of that, because we're generally the longs that are rolling there. So, but all in all, a very, very quiet market here going into this report. A lot of wonderment of to whether, number one, are the bigger numbers already factored in? And number two, how big will the government's numbers be?
Again, down at the contract low today, $1.94 and a quarter in the December contract. Many thinking that it will at least get to the 191 level. Not too much further to go. You have an idea whether that might happen tomorrow?
Oh, you know, I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. I think that, you know, we could be down just a little bit. It's going to hang in here very tight, Todd. Don't see any real reason to totally find support or worry about it until we see Thursday's numbers. Mm-hmm. I think for one more day before we would test that big support number, we're probably going to wait and see the report.
When you speak with farmers, they're fairly happy with just keeping the bin door shut at the moment?
Oh, my gosh, yes. You know, once they put it inside the bin for now, especially with all the carry that's sitting out there, there isn't anybody that's in a big hurry to be selling right now. And rightfully so, Todd. You know, we might want to lock in the basis or the differential, but, you know, we'd like to see this basis narrow on up. And we are seeing it narrow up quite fast over the last week or so in Decatur. Central Illinois bids are coming on up, and the freight rates are going down on the river. So all in all, why the cash bids are coming in, and hopefully most of the guys took their LDPs last week when they were at their widest.
At 48 cents if they haven't, and they still have some bushels left. They're still at 43 today in Illinois, so maybe something they ought to do?
I think so. We don't see any great reason that corn is going to drop drastically from where we're at, and the basis will probably continue to stay strong. So as far as any big increases, we're not looking for a big increase.
At this point, I would suspect if they do take it that they're going to leave themselves open and unpriced. Do you have a problem with that?
Sort of. You know, we like to, as we look at things, if that report on Thursday is devastating as far as the carryover number, we need to be totally exposed out there with the carry that's offered to some of these things. You know, the July is sitting a good 30 cents above where we are now, plus any basis improvement. You know, it's awful hard not to say they shouldn't buy some puts under that July market is to protect themselves so they have a lot in the bin.
What are the ways, and there are a myriad of them, that this could turn lower on Thursday? What's more likely, that the number for crop production will raise dramatically, that USDA will come back in and say, no, our exports aren't going to be nearly that good, that they might recalculate ethanol or feed usage? Where do you see a potential problem?
Probably, in all honesty, I doubt the government's going to change their export projections. So it's going to be an increased production, if there is, and that increased production will probably, we can't hardly increase the number of our usage of what we're looking at now, especially with China issuing more export certificates, some of that with the bird flu and a few things like that coming in here. It's going to be awfully hard to raise any exports, but we probably won't decrease them much. So it'll probably be increased production will factor right on straight through to carry out.
You've probably had time now to have several conversations with some farmer clients after they've finished up harvest. Have they begun to talk about what they're thinking they'll do for the planting season next year? I know John Bondurant last week on Commodity Week told us he's not going to put an acre of corn in.
Well, he's down in the land of cotton, so that's not so unusual for him because he can switch over to cotton and rice a whole lot easier. And most of my clients up here don't raise a lot of cotton or rice to switch back to.
Well, John also said he thought 5 million acres wouldn't be planted, but
you know, we think there will be less acres of corn. We saw more acres of wheat than ever go in, or I say ever, for the last 5 years, anyhow, for sure, of our customers have planted more wheat than usual. And we do feel that the nitrogen costs, you know, as we talk here, most of it's over $500 an acre, $500 a ton for anhydrous now.
Mm-hmm.
That and some of the other things considered, why we're going to see some cutback in corn acreage for next year, Todd. You know, to what degree is going to be yet to be seen, but we're not seeing near the amount of fall anhydrous being put on here, or fertilizer is in total, just that would commit them to corn acres for next year, as we usually see.
Are they booking it forward?
Some of the customers have booked it forward, but unfortunately, I can say that a lot of guys saw a $50-$60 increase and didn't get it booked and just stood aside.
And then tell me about the soy complex and where you think things might be headed, and what pitfalls could come on Thursday morning.
Well, of course, you know, the last couple states we saw, you know, that finished up, Minnesota and Iowa, and that had a little better yields and maybe even what we were looking for, or at least that's the talk, so the production along that way. The other thing is, will we pull back because of bird flu as far as meal usage that way? We are hearing that China might have canceled some of their meal from India, but in the same respect, and maybe not buy as many beans in the future, but in the other respect, they still want the bean oil for their biodiesel that way, so it could still keep things going that way. The rapeseed oil prices remain high because Europe is using it that way, so looks like we're going to probably see the bean oil be strong for some of the Chinese market going into that. So that's still another thing to look at. Unfortunately, this bird flu thing is so up in the air. How many animals or birds are really being destroyed, and what impact will it have, you know, the rest of the year, or can we get this under control?
And finally, since we're talking about livestock, just a bit on the mercantile exchange, where yesterday U.S. Secretary of Ag, as we'll hear a little bit later in the newscast, Mike Johanns mentioned that he's ready to open up the border to Canadian beef imports of animals 30 months and older.
Wow. You know, that's something we hadn't really been looking for, but, you know, and that's maybe why we were just, instead of the sharp up we had yesterday in the cattle, maybe why we sort of settled down and aren't doing as much that way. The expectations are steady for cash cattle this week when they finally trade. And we got to remember what month it is. It's November, and that means Thanksgiving, and that means turkeys is the focus feature as far as the meat markets go, Todd.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report Wednesday afternoons.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's Ed Kieser forecast for tonight. Mostly cloudy skies, mild, a few showers, some thunderstorms, low near 60. Winds out of the south to southwest at 12 to 24 miles an hour. And tomorrow, Ed says cloudy, a chance of lingering shower early. Otherwise, partly sunny, windy, and turning cooler. The morning high 63, with the temperature falling into the 50s during the afternoon. Winds tomorrow out of the west to northwest at 20 to 30 miles per hour. Now today's agricultural news. More than 20 trade ministers, including Rob Portman of the U.S., are in Geneva today for the last-ditch effort to save the Doha round of the World Trade negotiations. Time is running out for the World Trade Organization's 148 members who hope to agree on a global trade treaty at the December 13th meeting. Negotiators continue to struggle to produce a draft text for the governments to assess before the summit. The U.S. and the European Union, under heavy pressure from developing countries to reduce farm subsidies and cut import tariffs on agricultural products, have insisted that they must also see concessions from poorer nations on market access for manufactured goods and opening up service industries to international trade. Meetings yesterday in London failed to break the impasse over agriculture. USDA's energy policy director says the recent rundown in energy prices will soften the blow from high natural gas prices, but by how much is still in question. Energy policy and new uses director at USDA, Roger Conway, says post-Katrina and Rita refinery recovery efforts are paying off, it, not just for oil.
Well, I think for natural gas, they appear to be getting things online in terms of Katrina and Rita. That's going to help.
Conway says mild weather in much of the U.S. is also helping ease the natural gas squeeze and price rise, but not eliminating it.
Assuming that the oil and gas companies are able to get things online as they appear to be doing, and that we have a reasonable winter, then while things will be high, they may not be quite as disconcerting as we thought it was possible.
Conway would not put a figure on it, though the National Corn Grower said last week prices for fertilizer made with natural gas could top $600 a ton by spring. That was just as fuel prices were starting downward. The UN Food and Agriculture Organization says the latest outbreak of bird flu has already cost more than $10 billion in poultry losses. Representatives from China, Vietnam, and Indonesia, among countries so far hardest hit by bird flu, pointed to increasing costs for containing the disease, including rising expenses from compensating farmers for culled animals. USDA Secretary Mike Johann says he's considering U.S. industry requests to expedite a further lifting of the U.S. ban on Canadian cattle by allowing the import of animals older than 30 months of age for slaughter. Johann says he told industry representatives that he may decide to chip away at the remaining prohibitions on Canadian cattle in a piecemeal way. Well, the House Republicans say they may drop or significantly reduce the $844 million in food stamp funding cuts that currently are part of the House budget reconciliation package. The Republican leaders are seeking enough votes to ensure passage by the week's end. Some lawmakers are worried about voting for budget cuts in advance of the 2006 midterm elections. And finally today, U.S. and Chinese officials have announced an agreement curbing Chinese textile exports to the United States over the next 3 years. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening at Bernardi's 2 on 123 North Mills Street in Pontiac for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. No reservations are required for this 7 o'clock meeting. Panelists include Eric Schuller of Risk Management Commodities, Kirk Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing, and Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. That's a free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook meeting this evening at 7 o'clock at Bernardi's 2. That's at 123 North Mill Street in Pontiac. We hope to see you there.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. Well, up next, our weekly look at the crop production report as it was released by USDA yesterday afternoon. That with the top five corn-producing state statisticians. Around the nation, USDA says 90% of the corn crop has now been harvested. That's ahead of last year and with the five-year average. And, of course, the soybeans are 96% complete done. That number, too, is ahead of last year and the five-year average.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on the weather and crop report for the week ending November 6th. Weather conditions in Illinois were once again favorable for harvest last week, with nearly 6 days suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture was 17% very short, 32% short, 47% adequate, and 4% surplus. Light rains reportedly helped the winter wheat crop, but were not enough to replenish soil moisture, ponds, and rivers. Farmers across the state report that fall tillage activities have confirmed the absence of subsoil moisture. Harvest was nearly complete for corn, soybeans, and sorghum, except in northern areas which have about 10% of the corn crop to be harvested. Taking a look at the crop progress numbers from last week, 96% of the state's corn crop had been harvested by week's end, leading last year and the five-year averages of 90 and 93% respectively. Statewide, soybean harvest was virtually complete at 99%, compared with 89% last year and 95% for the five-year average. Soft red winter wheat seeding is winding down at 99% complete, compared to 85% last year and 94% normally. 87% of the crop has emerged, and this compares with 75% last year and 81% for the five-year average. Condition of the wheat crop came in at 1% poor, 21% fair, 67% good, and 11% excellent. This has been Brad Schwab reporting for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of Indiana Agricultural Statistics, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending on November 7th. Many farmers have finished both their corn and soybean harvest. As the harvest activity nears completion, farmers have turned their attention to other activities such as fall tillage, spreading fertilizer, and liming. Topsoil moisture was rated 4% very short, 21% short, 72% adequate, and 3% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 11% very short, 29% short, 59% adequate, and 1% surplus. Precipitation ranged from 0.3 0.32 to 1.25 inches. Temperatures average from a low of 28 to a high of 78 degrees. For the week ending Friday, 5.6 days were rated as suitable for field work, compared with 2.9 days last year. 89% of Indiana's corn acreage has been harvested, compared with 85% for last year and 82% for the average. In northern Indiana, 89% of the corn acreage is harvested, 88% is harvested in the central region, and 93% in the south. Moisture content of corn harvested fell slightly from last week to 16%. 96% of the soybean acreage has been harvested, compared with 93% last year and 94% for the average. In northern Indiana, 98% of the soybean acreage is harvested, 97% in the central region, and 92% in the south. Moisture content of harvested soybeans was unchanged from last week at about 12%. 98% of the winter wheat acreage has been planted, compared with 87% last year and 94% for the average. 87% of the winter wheat acreage has emerged, compared with 77% for last year and 80% for the average. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS field office.
This is Dan Norris, statistician from USDA's National Ag Statistics Service, Iowa field office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending November 6, 2005. Corn harvest nears completion. A week of above-average temperatures and limited rainfall enabled farmers to make good progress with field activities. Slightly over 90% of the state's corn crop has been harvested. As harvest was winding down, many farmers were busy applying lime and fertilizer. About one-third of Iowa's fall fertilizer application was completed. Fall tillage was commonly reported as well. Fewer reports of anhydrous ammonia applications were received as ground temperatures remained too high this past week. Last week, there were 6.5 days suitable for field work. For the field crops report, corn harvest reached 91% complete, which was up 11 percentage points from a week ago and 5 percentage points ahead of normal. The percent moisture of field corn was 16%, down 1 percentage point from a week ago. Harvest corn percent moisture at 15% was equal to that of a week ago, but 3 percentage points lower than a year ago. Corn lodging rated 61% none, 27% light, 9% moderate, and 3% heavy. Corn ear droppage rated 68% none, 25% light, 6% moderate, and 1% heavy. Fall fertilizer application was 32% complete statewide, which is up 6 percentage points from the 5-year average. Grain movement from farm to elevator was rated 26% none, 29% light, 30% moderate, and 15% heavy. Off-farm grain storage availability rated 69% short, 30% adequate, and 1% surplus. On-farm grain storage availability rated 61% short, 38% adequate, and 1% surplus. This was Dan Norris, statistician with the USDA's National Ag Statistics Service, Iowa field office.
This is Doug Bounds reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather summary for the week ending November 6, 2005. Corn harvest was 88% complete, ahead of last year at 71 and average at 82. Sorghum harvest moved to 93% complete, 7% ahead of average. The emergence of the 2006 wheat crop was virtually complete at 98%. Conditions were rated as 63% good or excellent. Wheat conditions are in line with last year, but ahead of normal. Topsoil moisture levels are rated below last year and average, while subsoil moisture levels are rated above. Cattle were still being moved to stock fields as they became available. This has been Doug Bounds with the USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is the Closing Market Report on WILL. I'm Todd Gleason. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your local newscast is next.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. One Champaign City official says municipal ownership of the water system could be a possibility now that its provider is being sold. But Champaign Assistant City Manager Paul Berg says there's plenty of talks ahead before the City Council would commit to anything. German-based RWE says it will sell its American Water System, which includes Illinois American Water Company, by 2007. At least two Urbana officials also want to investigate the idea of local ownership. The Urbana City Council could consider a smoking ban for bars and restaurants early next year. The Champaign-Urbana Smoke-Free Alliance formally asked Urbana Council members last night to consider the proposal, which has failed to pass in Champaign. Urbana Mayor Laurel Pressing says the council will definitely consider some sort of smoking ban. Meanwhile, the city councils of West Lafayette and Jeffersonville in Indiana both gave preliminary approval last night to smoking bans in their towns. The West Lafayette Council will take a final vote in January. Officials in Jeffersonville, across the Ohio from Louisville, Kentucky, will vote later this month. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels and Lieutenant Governor Becky Skillman are touring tornado damage this afternoon in the Evansville area. Emergency crews also are pumping water from a pond at a mobile home park to check it for any more victims from Sunday's storm. The Champaign City Council will spend tonight and tomorrow night sorting out suggestions from residents about how to make the city better. Mayor Jerry Schweihart says the comments come from a series of town hall meetings and an online survey and will be boiled down over the next few weeks into a five-year plan for Champaign. He says the suggestions range from cracking down on excessive car noise to redeveloping struggling retail areas. The U.S. Attorney for Central Illinois is resigning at the end of the month. Jan Paul Miller says he'll join a private law firm in St. Louis. Miller has been the Central Illinois federal prosecutor for nearly 4 years. His targets have included white-collar crime, including kickbacks related to government contracts involving the Iraq War. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois. Deferred pricing contracts available this fall. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for our look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
It is a gorgeous day here, 70 degrees in the middle of November. Can we hold on to such high temperatures?
Boy, you got to wonder when the bottom is going to fall out, but we're going to be able to hold on to it for a little bit longer. Temperatures across all of the lower 48 states through the rest of this week and into the weekend will stay above normal. Now, with that said, there is a lot of cold air building in northwest Canada, up in Alaska, and eventually the dam will break, and that cold air is going to spill southward into the continental United States. However, at least for another 5 to 7 days, we don't see that happening, so most of the nation will enjoy above normal temperatures.
I'm particularly interested this time around in the Kansas City area. Dave Dickey and I, who's the Director of Agricultural Programming here, will be there for the next 3 days for the National Association of Farm Broadcasters Convention, and we're hoping for decent weather there as well. I suggest it would be that way, right?
It's certainly looking that way. In fact, usually when the farm broadcasters get together in the middle of November, the weather in Kansas City is not very good, but this time around, it's looking very nice.
Oh, well, that's good. I can remember many a year sliding into Kansas City on icy roads, dropping down. There's one hill there off the interstate that just a bear, she ices up, and that's no fun. That's really no fun. Tell me about South America.
Well, all of the southern hemisphere, including South America, are going to be looking at an active weather pattern. Temperatures are expected to be a little bit colder than normal across many areas of Brazil and Argentina, and precipitation, especially Brazil, continues to be a high chance of good moisture there. Now, some areas of Argentina a little bit more spotty with the moisture, but they'll see some showers as well, and temperatures a little bit below normal.
The South African maize crop?
Same thing. In fact, you go to South America, South Africa, and Australia, the forecast is about the same. Good chances for precipitation in many of the key areas, and temperatures a bit below normal.
Is this all part and parcel of the water off of Peru and on the equator?
It could be. I do think we are definitely on the cusp of seasons completely changing here shortly. That would be going into winter here in North America and then getting more into a summer pattern in the southern hemisphere, but it's probably another 10 to 14 days away. But around Thanksgiving, or just before, we'll start to see some bigger changes in both hemispheres.
We appreciate you being with us, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons. Remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis, the weather reports, right there on the World Wide Web. Just go to WILL.UIUC.edu, click on AM, and then, of course, agriculture. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.